Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Greetings to all of our wonderful and our faithful Blog Talk Radio listeners. This is your radio show. This is the Prophetically Speaking Radio Broadcast. We come into your homes, to your office, to your automobiles every week, Tuesday at 3 o'clock p.m. And for this particular radio show, I am your host, and I am Prophetess Trinoncia Balkan. And along with me, I have an awesome and dynamic co-host, none other than the wonderful Prophetess Gloria Jenkins. Prophetess Jenkins, how are you on today?
I am blessed, woman of God. It's good to be here again on this Tuesday afternoon.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm just so elated about the things of God on today. Here in the city of Houston, our weather is not as becoming as I would have liked it to be. But you know what? I'm so glad that I'm on top of the ground, and the ground is not on top of me. So go ahead and tell us what's going on there in New Iberia on today.
Oh, it is awful. It is, well, the streets are flooded. It's a whole lot of rain. It's been raining for some days now. So the weather's not too good. Like you say, we're glad we're not on top of, the earth is not on top of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really, really bad weather. But inside my spirit, inside my life, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. So I'm not moved by what's going on the outside. I'm moved by what's going on in my spiritual world.
Amen. And you know, that matters so much, because if we're allowing ourselves to be disturbed by our external factors, then many times our day or our moods or our circumstances will be affected. We will become what's known as very moody people. Some call it, you know, by different names, but we don't want our external factors to be a representative of what is really going on the inside. You know, woman of God, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when we look at the two words that we often deal with in an everyday life, where we're often plagued with one or the other, and that's happiness versus joy. And many times we're thinking that if we're in Christ, that every day we should be happy. But unfortunately, there are some moments when things are not as happy or as pleasant as we would like them to be. But because we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, we're not relying on what has happened to make us happy. But we know, because of the blood of Jesus, that gives us joy, knowing that we have victory no matter what our circumstances look like, no matter what they feel like, no matter what things are presented to us. We can still walk in the strength and in the joy of the Lord, knowing that, hey, it's the joy of the Lord that's my strength. And as long as I hold on to my joy, I'm going to hold on to my strength, and I can keep right on walking. Is that right, woman of God?
And amen. That is so wonderful. As long as you hold on to the joy of the Lord, that's our strength. When we're feeling weak and really don't sometimes don't know which way to go, what God will have us to do, let's just rely on Him to give us strength and to give us the wisdom to make the right decisions. That kind of spiritual guidance that He has provided for His people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, woman of God, what I'm going to do at this time is I'm going to step out of the way, and I want to give you an opportunity to go ahead and give your shout out.
Hallelujah. I greet the wonderful, wonderful people that's listening today on the broadcast. I just bless you with the love of Jesus. I thank God for you all, but also for, first of all, I thank God for my Savior, my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and my Father God. I thank God for the whole blessed Holy Spirit that leads and guides and keeps me every day. I thank God for that, because had it not been for the Advocate that Jesus sent forth on earth, we'd be in a really, really bad predicament. But I thank God for that today. I thank God for my leaders, who are Bishop Harold Antwine and Clara, Senior Pastor Clara Antwine, where they pastor the church here in New Iberia, Louisiana, Glory and Victory Full Gospel Church, with the church where we care what happens to you, and the Spirit of God have free reign to move as He wishes. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my siblings. I have nieces and nephews and cousins and everybody that don't know Christ yet. And my heartfelt prayer is that they will come to know Christ like we know them, that they know that Christ died for them. Amen. I thank God for the woman of God that Preptis Pinocchio Barker, a precious, precious sister to me, a precious person that I know that loves God with all of her heart. And God has proven himself to be worthy in her life. In her life, she's proven herself to be worthy to even be serving God. And she's been obedient to the call of God. And I thank God for that woman, that a woman that not after this is Hunt, but after doing the word and after being a blessing to the people of God. So I thank God for every listener, every person that's sitting and took time to come and listen to the broadcast today. I pray today that something will be said that will bless your spirit and cause you to take a greater hold on to what God is doing in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. And I'm just so thankful to God for everything that you've said, and just so grateful for us living this life. I'm telling you, for God. And being able to give our testimony of knowing that God certainly is who he says he is. And I'm just so thankful, you know, as we live this life, you know, it's just like we're babes. And, you know, when babies are born, they don't know a lot, or they are trying to figure out some things. But I just give glory to God that, you know, I'm no longer a babe when it comes to Christ. And I thank God that I've walked with him for some time now, and I've had the opportunity of getting to know him for the God that he is, and knowing him for the deliverer that he is, knowing him for the healer that he is. And, you know, the thing about God that is just so wonderful to me, woman of God, is that, you know, you have some couples that have been together for 40, 50 years, and they say, you know, I know when they walk, I know how they smell, and I know how they talk. But you know, one thing I love about God is, yet I know him, but he's such a big God. He's such an awesome God, until even though I do feel that I know him, I know his presence, I know his voice, but there's still so much more of him that we're able to learn about him on a daily basis. And so I'm just so awestruck by his love, and just so always amused by his immutability and by his steadfast love to me. And I'm just thankful to him for just being that God. You know, he's ever-knowing, he's all-knowing, he's all-present, he's, you know, omniscient. He's just all that in a bag of chips. And I just thank God that I'm yet and still getting to know him in a better way each and every day. And I love him, and I thank God for him. And woman of God, I want you to know that I love you, and I thank God for you as well. And just thank God for how much of a blessing that you have been in my life. Your words, how your words have been such words of inspiration, how your prayers have been such prayers that have assisted me with walking in a level of breakthrough right now. And so I just thank God for you, and I thank God for those at the church under Bishop and Pastor Antoine. And I thank God for the shouts that they always send me, for the love and for the hugs and the kisses. And I want all of you to know that I love you, and I send you a great, just a group hug to all of you right now. And so I just want to take a moment as well to give my shout-outs. First of all, I always want to start with giving a great big shout-out to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the things I am just so compelled to witness to, woman of God, is that here within my walk in this year of 2015, I'm just so excited that I'm getting to know God in a whole new way. And one of the things I'm always so delighted about, woman of God, and I'm giving my shout outs, but I just have to say this about my God, is that, you know, there are times, one of the things that we're learning about right now at the Harvest Time Church, Bishop has been teaching us. He made such an awesome point on Sunday when he says that whenever there's a crisis, the one that the crisis is calling is those that have been anointed. And so in this year of 2015, one of the things that I'm so excited about is that I'm knowing God in a new way. I'm really, really knowing that there is no other God like him. And, you know, many times we're brought into different crisis situations. And, you know, we have all type of battles with the enemy. We have all type of instances where the enemy wants to come and show his ugliness and his impureness. But I'm just so grateful to God that in this year, no matter what the crisis, I've always come out of it knowing God in a better way. Seeing him for the God that he really is, knowing that he's all-powerful. There's none greater. There's nobody higher. There's nobody wiser. There's, you know, none lower. Nobody can outdo our God. And so I'm just thankful that in this year I see myself growing into new levels and new heights of his glory and just getting to know a whole other side of my God. And so I just want to send a great shout out to him to then let my Lord and my God, my Savior, know that I love him, I appreciate him, and I just thank him for this past week of resurrection that we celebrated, and I'm just so grateful that God sent his son Jesus to die for me. And I'm really grateful that on the third day he rose, and he didn't just get up, woman of God, but he got up with all power in his hand. So I thank God for that. And then I want to give love and shout out to my family and to those that I love and they love me. And, you know, a special shout out is always to that favorite little boy of mine, my son. And I just thank God for him growing in God and becoming the vessel that God has intended for him to be. And then I want to thank God for my church, which is the Harvest Time Church. And I want to thank God for the awesome teaching and for the prophetic mantle that God has blessed us with in our leader, and that is none other than Bishop Shelton Beatty. And I want to thank God for everything that God has done at Harvest Time, because certainly we are definitely under the cloud of his glory, and God is moving us to a new height and to a new depth in him. And I just give God praise, because I'm telling you, woman of God, at Harvest Time, we are in the midst of a move of God. We are in the midst of seeing the hand of God move. We are right in smack dab. You know, if you see a tornado, and whenever you see a tornado, there's always something that's called the eye of the storm. And even though the tornado looks like there can be a lot going on with the tornado, but right in the middle of it, there's always peace. And I just thank God that we are in, I'm telling you, a season where God is doing some work at Harvest Time, and I thank God for every bit of it. I thank God for the times where it looks rough. I thank God when it looks like we're in the eye. I thank God when it looks like we are right in the spin cycle. But through it all, I give God praise, because God is God, and he is moving by his power at Harvest Time Church. And so I thank God for my church. I thank God for the members of the church. I thank God for the leaders of the church. And I thank God for the bishop that God has given us to lead us into the greatest time of God that we have ever seen or imagined in our lives. But even more so, I thank God for being God of the harvest. I thank God that every time I step, woman of God, into Harvest Time, every time I step on the ground of Harvest Time, I declare that today is my day of a harvest. And so I thank God that I'm in the middle of a harvest. I thank God that I'm a part of the harvest. And I praise him for the harvest that's taking place in my life. And so on that note, woman of God, we're going to go forward and we're going to get ready to let God speak through us on today with this show that we have on today. Woman of God, did you have an opportunity to read our virtue values on today?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
So let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Why don't you just share with me what you feel about the virtue values on today?
The virtue values today, the word is, the power word is favor, supernatural
yes.
favor.
Yes.
As I begin to read the virtue value and what you had inscripted on the timeline and what you spoke about, I tell you, I begin to get excited about what God is doing, because favor, some people say favor ain't fair.
Oh.
Isn't fair. But I want you to know that God bestows favor on who he pleases. And who doesn't like it is, I'm sorry, but God, he put favor in our life just when we need it. And the word we're going to talk about today is dynamite. It began to open up some things for me in my spirit, how God uses favor in our life. I began to look up the definition of favor and how just powerful the word is. It's something that's friendly, something that's gracious, something that's obliging. It's about doing something freely. Granted. He freely granted us favor, his faith. And like I said earlier, favor just ain't fast for some people, they might say, but God will give favor what he pleases. And it's like he's stepping approval on you, a step of approval. He's saying, I support what you're doing.
Oh.
And I begin to read the book of, and know we come from the book of Esther, but I don't know if you're going to go there, but the book of Esther, and I begin to read that chapter by Esther. And Esther was put in the palace with such a time as this.
Yes,
she was placed there for the Esther. That's what you call supernatural, divine appointment.
Supernatural.
Stuff to get there, and she had to go through some things to get. But God placed her there just when it was needed. Because we have to remember that God, he knows the end at the beginning.
Oh,
and he knows how to strategically place us in places that will affect. Not only, and see, the favor is not only always for us, it's for people, because it's going to affect other people. He put favor in our life in order for us to be a support to other people. You know, when God opens doors for you, your doors are open for you to invite somebody else in.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. He'll open doors for me, or he'll do things, healing, different things he placed in our life. For other people, it's for you too. But for all, it's gonna always affect someone.
That's right.
Surrounding, and that's what's so marvelous and so great about the word favor. And we don't rightly. Sometimes we don't deserve it. It's like it's grace and it's mercy. Sometimes we don't deserve it. It's mercy because we might have sinned the day before.
Uh-huh.
When we get up that morning, that mercy and his grace is fresh and new every morning.
Favor.
He places favor on whoever he pleases. I thank God for favor today. I thank God for the people to listen and hear what the woman of God has. God has inscripted in our heart and our spirit. We're going to talk today. We're going to give you some nuggets that you can live the rest of the week or the rest of the time. You're going to begin to ponder and say, that's something to think about. You begin to dig in the scripture and say, I want that kind of favor. God, I can have it. And you begin to desire, decree, and declare some things in your life according to the favor of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that was a wonderful introduction to what we're going to be talking about. And I'm hoping that, I know we have quite a bit of a following when it comes to our TB ministry page as well as our radio broadcast. And so let me just take a moment to let you know that whenever I put those virtue values out, because I do know that we have a good following, I like for you to read the chapter, read the scripture to see where it is that we're going. And what we're doing is we're actually doing a social media Bible study with this is what we're doing. And so for those of you that had an opportunity to read it on today, you know that we're going to be talking about the supernatural favor that God bestowed upon this woman, Esther. And as the woman of God stated just a moment ago, the favor that God gave her was actually not for her. She was the one that walked in the favor, but there was a whole generation of people that were affected by what God did for her. So we're going to go real quickly. Now, first of all, let me just let you know that definitions always come from dictionary.com. We always make sure we get it from there. So our definition, we're going to be talking about favor is something that is done or granted out of goodwill rather than from justice or for remuneration. It's an act for, meaning that it's something that's done for you regardless of whether you deserve it or not. Favor. And then for our virtue values, I want to take a moment to read to you what our virtue value says for today. We're coming from Esther 5 and 2, part 8. And it says, so it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. God never ceases to amaze me. He always allows himself to be true to his word when it relates to his offspring. Have you ever had a Queen Esther moment, a Queen Esther day, or maybe a Queen Esther year? A season of doing all you are requested to do, all you are required to do by God and man, yet the demonic spirit of Haman is in hot pursuit of you, your purpose, and all whom you are connected to. Well, fret not. The story revealed Haman was hanged on the very gallows. The one man Haman had a murder plot on was the one man that assumed his positional assignment. Queen Esther received supernatural favor on behalf of her people. Supernatural favor is your portion on today. So, woman of God, when I begin to pray and meditate on this supernatural favor and talking to God about some stories in the Word of God where supernatural favor was shown, I tell you, the story of Esther just stood out to me like a sore thumb. As you stated earlier, Esther was a young girl that was not raised in the most favorable conditions. If you want to do a study on the life of this particular woman, Hadassah was raised by her uncle Mordecai because her parents were killed. When her parents were killed, she became an orphan. When she became an orphan, the next nearest relative, which was Uncle Mordecai, became her now parents. So when Mordecai began to raise Esther, there was a stirring in the land. And what happened is that Vashti, which was the queen at the moment, did not obey the orders that were given to her by King Ahasuerus. King Ahasuerus had a decree or an order sent out for Vashti to come into his presence. And theologians have many different reasons as to why she did not come. Some say that she didn't come because he wanted her to dance nude in front of all of the magistrates and all the people that were there. There are many different reasons why. Some say that the men were drunk and she did not want to make her crown of low value by going out in front of these people and they were drunk and have these people saying rude things to her. So there are many different explanations as to why Vashti did not come before the king when he was requesting her to come. But however, as a result of her not obeying the order that the king sent out, Vashti was relieved of her duties, thus leaving the position of queen of Persia a vacant spot. So since that spot was vacant, the king made a plan. He sent all of those men out that were his keepers, the guards, he sent them out to go and get him the virgins of the land, those that were pure, those that had not been defiled by things and by men. And he had those women to come. And the Bible says for 365 days, those women that were chosen to be a part of this, I don't want to say contest, but to be a part of this choosing, were brought in. And for 365 days, they went through rituals of beauty baths, and their skin was oiled, and all the dry skin was removed, and their hair was moisturized. Everything, their nails, everything about these women were made beautiful, because each one of these women would have an opportunity to have one night with that king. And when they were to present themselves to the king, and they were to present themselves adorned and beautiful, and everything was to be in place. And at that moment, the king would then decide which one of these women would become his new queen. So as time will go on, Esther's opportunity came. And the Bible goes on to tell us that when Esther went before the king, immediately the king found favor with her. The Bible says that because she was fair to look upon. The Bible begins to say how when she entered into his presence, he found favor. favor, and he favored her over all the other women that had come into his presence. And so at that point, Esther has now been chosen by the king. Esther is now the queen of the land. So now that Esther is the queen of the land, that takes us to our virtue value. So virtue value takes us to a story where there was a wicked man by the name of Haman. And Haman had a problem with the Jews. Haman did not want any of them to live because of a man by the name of Mordecai. Mordecai believed in the one and only true living God. Haman wanted everybody in the land to bow to him. When Mordecai decided that he would not bow to him, Haman put out a decree that all the Jews in the land would be killed. That would include Mordecai. He was upset because Mordecai would not worship him, but he would only worship the one and only true and living God. Well, one thing that had not been revealed was that Esther herself was a Jew. And so now, when Esther got word from her uncle Mordecai of what is now about to take place, that her people, her generation, are now about to be annihilated, her entire lineage is about to be killed, Esther realizes that there is something that has to be done. And for any of you that know the story well, you realize that when something of this magnitude is about to take place, we don't want something that's just called favor. We need something that's called supernatural favor. We don't want something where a man is just going to say, okay, let me do this or do that. But in a moment like that, we need God himself to step down and say, listen, I am going to take care of this situation for you. So now Esther has to come up with a plan. And when you read the story, you realize that no one has the right, not even the queen, to enter into the presence of the king without him first giving them the permission to do so. And so now Esther is faced with this detrimental fate of her entire generation. She has to make a decision. She has to decide what's going to be done. God has now placed her in the kingdom. God has now made her the queen of the land. She's living a luxurious life. She's having daily beauty treatments. She's eating the best of food. She's wearing the finest of clothes. She's already walking in a level of favor. But then her true purpose now comes to surface, because God reveals through her uncle Mordecai that God did not just put her in the kingdom for her. The Lord did not place her there so she could be pretty and look good every day. He did not put her there so that her name could be up in lights. He did not put her there so that her and her alone could have the best. But Uncle Mordecai sent word to her, and he said to her, could it be that you have been placed into the kingdom for such a time as this? And when those words came to the woman of God, it registered. Her purpose then became awakened. Her purpose began to manifest, and it became evident that I'm not here in the kingdom. I'm not here on the throne just to be on the throne, but I'm here because I'm here on an assignment by God to save my people. So now, even though the king had not given her permission, Esther had to step out on faith. Esther had to step out on what she believed. She called the people of the land to go on a 3-day fast. She said, we're all going to fast, the adults, the children. The Bible says even the animals couldn't eat for 3 days. And so for 3 days, Esther demanded that everybody seek the Lord. We're all going to talk to God. We're all going to get an answer to this, because we don't want favor. We need supernatural favor to move on behalf of us right now. Esther took this 3-day consecration, got on her face before the Lord. After 3 days was over, she arose to her feet. The Bible says she began to enter into the place where the king was, even when she had been advised not to do so. She did it anyway, because she knew that it's either now or never. Esther stepped out on faith. She went before the king. All of the magistrates began to be upset because Esther had now broken the laws of the land. She was not supposed to enter in unto the king unless she had permission. But she went beyond what man had put on paper. She has now stepped into a supernatural realm. And she began to say, God, if I die, let me die. If I perish, let me perish. But I'm going to die for the on the behalf of my people. And so Esther went forth. And when she went, God blessed her at that moment. And the Bible says in Esther 5:2 that when she stood in the courts, she found favor in the eyes of the king. And at that moment, he lifted his scepter and allowed her to come forth. And when Esther was able to come forth, he then asked her, what is it that I can do for you? And people of God, allow me to stop right there, because sometimes we can be faced with some serious circumstances where the enemy has come to threaten not only our life, not only our well-being, but sometimes the enemy comes to threaten the well-being of our family, the well-being of our children, the well-being of our church. But how many times can we say we've got to learn how to turn the plate over, get in the face of God, and say, God, what will you have me to do? And people of God, if this woman of God took a step of faith, that came but allowed her to have favor in his sight. And it was at that moment that she was able to make a request to let him know that she was going to have a banquet. And at that banquet, she needed him and she needed Haman to be at the table. So when you look at it, the king is probably saying, you risked your life. You went against the laws of the land. You did all of that so you could ask me to have a banquet, not knowing that God had a plan. So because he loved her and because she found favor in his sight, he allowed it to be so. The Bible says that the banquet was put on. The man, the king, King Ahasuerus came. Haman, he came. And Esther, she came, a woman of wisdom. And when they sat at the table, Esther had the entire room beautified. She had everything looking lovely, smelling great, ready to make her request to the king. And the Bible says that she goes forth to let the king know that there's one man by the name of Haman, a wicked man, that has now made a decree to destroy your queen. He said, what do you mean to destroy my queen? I am a Jew. And Haman has decided that he's going to kill all the Jews of the land. Well, people of God, let me tell you about supernatural favor. Because the man Haman, his entire plot was to kill Mordecai, because Mordecai did not want to bow to him. And so when his plot did not work, when Mordecai would not bow to him, Haman had some gallows to be built. Haman put out a murder plot against one man by the name of Mordecai. Haman had a plan. We're going to kill him. If he's not going to bow to me, we're going to kill him. Because if we kill him, this is going to be a witness to everybody that decides that they're not going to bow to me, that they're going to die. So now, not realizing that the God of Mordecai is the one and only true and living God. And so now, he builds the gallows. Esther has now reported to the king what's really going on. So now the very gallows that Haman has built for Mordecai to be hanged on. The Bible says that King Ahasuerus ordered Haman to be hung on the very same gallows. And the very position that Haman himself had right beside the king, standing right next to the king, the Bible says that God himself removed Haman, had Haman killed, and Mordecai came right in and took that very spot. And so, people of God, we're talking about supernatural favor. And woman of God, I believe that there are times when we are, as people of God, sometimes being haunted by Haman. Sometimes we are being, Haman is trying to run us down. You see, Haman is dead, but that spirit of Haman is still alive and well. It's still alive and well. Not wanting the people of God to honor God for who he is, but he wants people to bow to him. Woman of God, have you ever seen situations where, you know, there are people that the enemy uses? And just on the other week, I was sharing with someone, and I was ministering to someone about they had a sickness, and I was ministering to them because the Lord had given me revelation, and he gave me a word. And the word that the Lord gave me to give them was this. They were coming to me because there was a particular sickness that they had. And the Lord began to reveal to me about this. And this is what God showed me. He said, there are some times when there's an enemy, there's a person that is operating in a familiar spirit, operating in a spirit of witchcraft and sorcery. And those people send out spirits of sickness and spirits of illness and spirits of disease. They send the spirits out. And then the very people that they send the spirits out to, they go to the people and offer prayer. This is what God showed me. And so then when they go to them and they pray for them, what they've actually done, now they have commanded the spirits that they sent out to come back. So now the spirits have come back, and they have stepped in to pray, and now it looks as though, because they prayed for the person has received a miracle, when in reality, they were the ones that sent the spirit out to them in the first place. And so when I begin to share this with the person, I begin to let them know what the Lord had placed in my spirit. And there are times when the enemy uses people to get our eyes off of God. Because when now we're thinking that this person is actually doing something miraculous, when in actuality, they don't want the glory to go to God. They want the glory to go to them. And so what they do is they manipulate miracles. They manipulate signs and wonders to make people give them praise, to make people give them worship. That's that spirit of Haman, because he doesn't want us to give worship and praise to the true and the living God. And so now you're giving them all the praise. Now you're giving them all the glory. And God is standing there saying, what about me? What about me? What about me? If you had just read my word, if you had just gotten a close relationship with me, I would have told you that there was a spirit that was coming against you. And I would have empowered you to send that spirit back to the pits of hell from whence it came. But because sometimes we become so lackadaisical in the body, because we allow our flesh to control us instead of us controlling our flesh, and that now, when these evil spirits come, we're not absolutely certain if this spirit is coming from the devil or if this spirit is coming from a person that the devil has sent to us. And so now we have all these types of things going on, but it's all attributed to, woman of God, it's the spirit of Haman. And sometimes we can be going about our own business, doing what it is that we've been called to do by God, and yet Haman is on the loose. Haman is trying to hunt down the people of God. Haman has a murder plot. Haman has a plan. Haman is having meetings in the dark. Haman is gathering people together, telling them what to do and how to do it to kill God's people. Haman, that's the spirit of Haman, because he does not want God to get the glory. He does not want God to be glorified and magnified. But woman of God, on today, we're stepping in the realm of supernatural favor. And everything that is trying to come against the people of God to stop us from getting to the place, hallelujah, where God has intended for us to be, to do what God has intended for us to do, to manifest the works of the kingdom, we are stepping into supernatural favor. So that the very plot that Haman had against Mordecai will be reversed, and God will get his glory, and you will get what God has for you. And so, woman of God, I'm just so thankful to God right now for God being God. I'm just so grateful to God for God being the God that he is. Is there anything that you want to add to that, prophetess?
You were talking about Haman. But we know that when Haman died, that spirit didn't die.
Yes.
That have traveled over the years.
Yes.
Exactly what Hammond was trying to do. But God, by that, God will give you favor right in the midst of a Hammond spirit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right in the midst of what you mean. He thinks he's got you down. He thinks that you've done it, that you won't rise up. That spirit of God will rise up big in you, and Hammond will be defeated once again.
Jesus.
We have to remember that the favor of God travels on our life. The favor of God will bring or give us spiritual wisdom in the midst of that Hammond spirit. The favor of God will give us, make us know how to make right when it's supposed to be wrong, when we're supposed to be right, make it right decision. Favor step right on in. We got to remember that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay. And he was the same back in Haman, and he's the same today. And we have to be wise and strategically tear Satan down with the word of God and by the favor of God on our life. We have to use the weapons that God has given us.
Yes.
We have greater things than they had back in the Old Testament. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have angels in camp round about. We have greater things. God said greater things will you do than I've done. So the favor of God that rests on our life will bring us success. Okay, what the devil says, because look, you look at Esther. Esther was in the kingdom for such a time as this. And she went up to bat for her people. That we need to have that same mind with Christ. As other believers, we need to go to bat for our sisters and our brothers. We need to, when one fall out, pick them up. Even though we're not related, she was a Jew, and the Jews was being going to be killed. But she said, "I'm going before the king, no matter what. If I, like you said earlier, if I die, let me die.
Uh-huh.
But let me die for doing something for my people that my people live." And see, Haman knew that the Jews, that spirit in Haman knew that the Jews was God's chosen people. Uh-huh. So if he can get rid of all of them. At one time, he'd be successful. He wanted that recognition. He wanted to be recognized.
Yes.
The same plan that he had for Mordecai, the same place he decided to kill, put Mordecai on the stake to kill him. God used that same place to let him die.
That's right.
The same, the Bible says, don't you dig a ditch, don't dig the one ditch, dig two. Because when you dig one for me, you're going to fall another one.
That's right.
You know, we have to be careful that we watch, be watchful and prayerful what God wants to do in our life. Hallelujah.
My God.
Favor things in our life. And it's supernatural. He'll bring success. Supernaturally, he'll bring increases on that. Favor bring increases. Because when Esther went up to the king for the Jews, she was successful. Why she was successful? Because the Jews didn't die. And the one that plotted to kill them, He died on the same plot that he decided to kill one of the Jews in. Uh-huh. We have to be wise, and that supernatural wisdom, that supernatural favor, like I said earlier, isn't fair, but it's fair to the people that God extended to, because God knows what He's doing. Amen. He knows exactly what He's doing. That woman, God, you brought that message so profoundly. That's a story that is something to be reckoned with. The devil hates that. He hates when we come into recognition, we have to realization just when we uncover his tactics and his schemes, when we uncover him, he hates that. We bring light to people's life, he hates that. He wants us to be ignorant to God's devices. He wants us to be ignorant, to not to be wise, and let them die unsuccessful. Let them die. I don't care if they let them die. I don't care if they do something for God, but let them die not fulfilling.
Uh-huh.
Because he have a mind. See, he wouldn't attack you like he did if he didn't have a mind.
Uh-huh.
What do you do for Christ? See, the devil don't mess with nobody that's just living day by day, praying every now and then, reading the Bible every other day, and just not doing anything. He just leave them alone because they're okay. But those that are trying to put into his kingdom, that's who he's for. Like, he'll attack them with a vengeance. But we have the victory. That's what favor coming. We have the victory, and Esther is my girl. Esther brought victory to her people, and that's exactly what we're called to do, bring victory to the people of God. Open their eyes that they may see. Open their ears so they may hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying to them this day. Amen?
Amen, amen, amen. I tell you, you know, the more I meditate on this story of Esther, the more I am blessed, the more I am intrigued, because that, you know, there are so many secrets that are in the Word of God. So many secrets. All we have to do is really get into the Word of God, and God will reveal so many of His secrets, so many of His things unto us. All we have to do is get into the Word of God. You know, one of the things that we have to do, one of the things that the Lord said to me on this morning, I was in my prayer time, and one of the things that the Lord said to me, I was just giving Him praise and thanking Him that for releasing the bondage of this and releasing the bondage of that. And one of the things that the Lord said to me in prayer this morning, He said, baby, you can be unloosed from a whole lot of things, but one thing I want you to stay bound to. And I said, what is that, Father? He said, stay bound to prayer. He told me, stay bound to your prayer life. He said, don't forget to always pray. Always pray. He said, stay bound to prayer. And I'm just so grateful to God, because at this season in my life, I am hitting some milestones in my life, and I am, you know, learning more about God, as I said earlier, than I've ever known before, and just getting to a place in God that I have not known before. You know, a woman of God, there comes a time when you get to such a place in God, when you get to such a level with God where it's like, God, I don't want to go back where I came from. You know, I don't want to go down. I want to continue to go up.
Amen.
More of you. I don't want less. I want more. And so it's like now God is teaching me, and I can be very transparent that God is teaching me. You know, there used to be some things, woman of God, that I could be very verbal about, that I could be very angry about, or just verbalize my frustration. But the Lord is teaching me. You know, even as I'm getting older, the Lord is teaching me. There's some things that's just not even worth verbalizing about. Use your power of prayer. Use the power of prayer. You know, and I'm learning that even in the body of Christ, you know, and I said once before how the Lord told me that even concerning my foot, that He was walking out a prophetic word to me through my foot. And so I've learned so many lessons as God has walked out His word through my life. And one of the things I know that in the body of Christ that we have got to be free from is we've got to be free from a spirit of spiritual laziness. And God has dealt with me so much about this, because so many times the reason why we have so many of the evil things that can compound on the believer, so many of the works of the enemy that can get the upper hand on the saints, is because the saints are not being busy about the things of God. You know, many times we want the easy way out. Many times we want it handed to us. You know, as God began to reveal to me earlier, as I began to say about the revelation that the Lord gave to me about those evil spirits being sent out, He began to show me the evil darts of the enemy being shot out, just being shot out to believers. And He said that the people that the enemy attacks like this, He says they are believers. They are believers, but what happens is that sometimes we become mediocre believers. And so we want the easy way out. I know people right now, woman of God, I know people personally, I know them, that if you were to tell them, God says He has $1 million for you, but that person over there, they say they can work up something and they can get that money for you right now. I know some people that will go over there to the easy way out and go over there and say, I'm going to get this and then I'm going to come on back to holiness. I know people like that. But one of the things that we've got to come out of is we've got to come into a real place with God and realize that, you know, it's for God I live and it's for God I die. One of the things that Bishop taught us about some months ago, and I love that teaching, it was about contracts, about spiritual contracts. And sometimes we sign, we get involved with things, and we don't really realize the ramifications of what it is that we're being connected to. And the enemy, he likes to play games and fool us and make us believe that if you come over to my side and you do this just one time, that once you do this one time, then it's all over. No, it's not over, because at that moment you have signed a contract with the enemy, and you don't know what it's going to take for you to get out of that contract. And many times what the enemy requires is your life. He requires your life many times to get out of these contracts that we signed with him. And so it just does us all a bit of good to know that we cannot be spiritually lazy saints. God, if I've got to go deeper to see more, if I've got to go higher to have better vision, if I got to pray more to get better results, if I got to do this or do that for you to get to a better place in you, to walk in this supernatural power, to see your favor work on my behalf, then that's what I've got to do. And we've got to stop looking for the easy way out. We've got to stop looking for the witch doctors and looking for the sorcerers and looking for the potions and looking for spells to try to do God's job for him. God is God, and he will not share his glory with another. Mm-mm. And until we realize that God is God and stop trying to be God for him, we're always going to be stuck in a contract with the enemy, constantly running for your life, because the enemy is going to come back to get you one way or another. Mm-hmm. One way or another. So let's get out of all that. Let's put the spirit of Haman to death in our lives. And let's walk in a steadfast, unmovable, abounding place with God, knowing that with God all things are possible. And without God, nothing is possible. You may get a temporary satisfaction. You may get a temporary victory. You may walk the rest of your days here on this earth and what seems like a victory. You're walking in a place of a false identity where the devil has got you surrounded by a smoke screen. And you think that because you have money in the bank, that you drive that car and you live in that house and you have this favor with that and that favor, and the devil has made you think that you have some type of victory. But when it's all said and done, you will close your eyes and die and go to hell. People of God, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Let's wait on God. Let's do it God's way. Let's work with God. Let's let God work through us so supernatural favor can be our portion. And I believe, woman of God, that God's will, God's intent, God's destiny and design for all of us is that supernatural favor belongs to me. Supernatural favor belongs to you. And so, woman of God, I've said what I feel like God has given me to say concerning this particular broadcast, and I am just decreeing and declaring that every person that is listening to this show, I'm believing, God, that before the week is over, by the end of the week, by this time next week, you will have testimonies and praise reports about how God has released supernatural favor into your life. Prophetess, is there anything else that you want to say before we close?
I just want them to know and really pray they've heard what the Spirit is saying, because God has given, you just say that we can decree and declare some things, and we need to decree and declare some doors to be open that has been shut for years. We need to declare some healings to take place that you've been dealing with for some years. We need to decree and declare some things to be right. Decree favor to manifest in your life. You've spoken it, you read it in the scripture, but God gave favor to Esther. The same thing he did for Esther, he can do for you. It's nothing. You just say nothing's too hard for God. It's nothing that's too hard that God can't work out. Because remember, y'all, the greater one lives on the inside of us. And we have to have that mind of Christ that you say a prayer for life, begin to speak those things as be not. And speak them the way they're supposed to be, according to the word of God. God has given you that authority, given you that privilege. We need to take our authority in the name of Jesus. We will be successful. We will be healed. We are healed. Not will. We are successful. We are healed. And we are victorious in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God said we are. Decree and declare that thing to be so. I thank God for the word that came forth. I will meditate. As even as I go to church, I'm already sure I'll meditate on that word and begin to think about how God strategically organized that plan for Esther and for the people that he had chosen. And we are his chosen people. We've been chosen by God. We just did perhaps, Sister Misa. God called us by name. He chose us. And I'm, like you say, I'm grateful today. I'm grateful that I'm living and not the earth on top of me. I'm living and can do another assignment for God, another assignment for God. Another thing I can do for God, tell somebody somewhere that Jesus loves them. That's our mission. That's our goal, to be a servant of the Most High God. Amen.
Amen, amen. And we're going to get ready to go. And it's just one more point as you were talking that just kind of stood out to me and I wanted to make before we close, dismiss. And one of the things that just kind of hit me is that many times as believers, we face so many battles.
Yes.
We have the spirit of Haman that comes against us in such a strong and a mighty way. And when we really look at the position that Haman had, Haman was next to the king.
Yes.
That tells us that Haman had the ear of the people, because the Bible says that whatever Haman had the king's signet, all he had to do was put it on a piece of paper. And whatever Haman would say, and if he would sign it with the king's signet, then it would be so. So we look at the level of authority that was handed to Haman. We look at the level of authority that this man had, the people, the ear that he had, the people that he influenced. And so here we understand that Mordecai did not have an easy task, because when Mordecai made up his mind not to bow to Haman, look at how many people that was influenced by Haman.
Yes.
And so because these people were influenced by him, many of these people were afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were afraid that if they did not do what he said do, if they did not bow to him, that their fate was at hand. Their business was at hand. Their livelihood could be at hand. But Mordecai said, forget all of that. I bow to one man and one man only, and that is God. That is the one and only true and living God. And so many times when the spirit of Haman has been released into our lives, we have one battle after the next, because when you think about it and you put it in human terms, I want to make this plain before we go. If you have someone that is operating in that level of authority, and yet they are that evil, imagine what the plan and the plot was that he had against this man.
Yeah.
So everywhere Mordecai would go, Haman had somebody there to say, shut the door in his face. Every corner Mordecai would turn, Haman had somebody there, and he told them, stop him in his tracks. Everything that Mordecai tried to do, Haman had somebody saying, don't let it be so. And so he had this whole place full of afraid people, full of people that were afraid of what this evil entity would do to them if they did not obey his command. But yet you have this one man that decided, I'm still going to obey God. And so I want you to understand that there are many times when that spirit is up against you, it's not easy. Because when Haman comes against you, when the spirit of Haman is released, when you see the spirit of Haman at work in the earth realm, more than likely that spirit is going to come from a place of authority. More than likely, that spirit is going to come from someone that has influence. More than likely, that spirit is going to come from someone that has been placed in a high position. Because in order for that spirit of Haman to be effective, they've got to have people that they influence to carry out the work that they have been assigned by the enemy to do. And so many times, people of God, you may feel the wrath of that Haman spirit. You may feel the push of that Haman spirit. You may feel the effects of that Haman spirit. But let me tell you something. It's for God you live, and it's for God you die. Your faith has got to be so resolute. Your trust in God has got to be so real. Your belief in God has got to be so steadfast that you trust God more than you trust the threat of a spirit of Haman. You believe the will and the work of God more than you believe the threat of Haman. Because listen, people of God, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's nothing that has been on this earth that was not created by God. Now, there are evil spirits that may infiltrate, but God is in control. Don't let that spirit of Haman make you believe that they have all power and they have all authority. God is in control.
Amen.
God is in control. And remember, you've got to understand the origin of the spirit of Haman. The whole purpose of Haman is that he did not want God to get the glory. The entire intent of Haman was that he did not want God to be glorified. He did not want God. It had nothing to do with Mordecai. It had nothing to do with the Jews. It had nothing to do with people that wouldn't bow to him. It was that he didn't want you bowing to God. The whole purpose of the spirit of Haman is to defeat the kingdom of God. So, people of God, when you take a stand, understand that you will have to take a stand. But when you do, you know this, God's got your back because God is in control. And, you know, there's a story about Jezebel. Because, you know, pretty much when you look at Haman, Haman operated in a Jezebel spirit. There's a spirit in a story in the Bible about Jezebel. And the Bible says how Jezebel was after the prophets of God. And Elijah was hiding in a cave. And he said, God, what is going on? Am I the only one still standing? Mm-hmm. And God came back and said, no, you're not the only one. I have thousands that have not bowed their knee to Jezebel. And sometimes when you are being attacked by that spirit of Haman, you feel like you're the only one. You're the only Mordecai still left. You're the only Mordecai that's willing to stand for God. You're the only one that's saying, it's for God I live and for God I die. But people are listening to the voice of God through me. You are not by yourself. You are not alone. God has thousands that have not bowed the knee to Haman or Jezebel. If you bow, you bow to the Most High God. Bow to the Most High God, and know that God's got your back. God is in control. I have to say that three times. God is in control. I have to say it one more time. God is in control. I love you all. And I give God glory to God for every one of you listeners that continually tune in every Tuesday at 3 o'clock p.m. I thank God for every single one of you that are reading our virtue values and that are looking at our power word for the day. And I just give God praise for all of you. And I want you all to be encouraged on today that if that spirit of Haman, that spirit of Jezebel might come, don't you bow your knee. You only bow to the one and only true and living God. Prophetess Jenkins, I thank you for the word that you have placed over the airways on today, and I thank God for your steadfast stand, and I thank God for the work of God that you're doing. People of God, we're going to get ready to go, but I want to encourage you that for those of you that are within the Houston area on tomorrow night, I want to encourage you to meet us at the Harvest Time Church. We're located at 1770 Imperial Valley Drive. That's going to be Houston, Texas, 77060. Tomorrow we will be having in our service Marcus D. Wiley of the Yolanda Adams Morning Show, and I'm sure that he will be a blessing. I'm looking forward to hearing him and just being blessed through laughter and being blessed through the word of God that he's going to share with us. And so I just want to continue to encourage you to stay tuned. And if you're looking for a church to be a part of at Harvest Time, we're there on Sundays at 8:30 as well as 11, and every Wednesday at 7. Prophetess, tell us about what's going on in Louisiana.
Hallelujah. I have so much enjoyed this broadcast. The Word of God is powerful. I just want to remind the people that we are in the New Iberia, Louisiana area, and you're welcome to come in fellowship with us at Glory Victory Full Gospel Church, where Bishop Harold and Senior Pastor Clara and Prime are pastors there. I thank God the services start tonight, Tuesday at 7:15, and on Sundays we have service at 9:30. So you're welcome to come and be a part. It's 321 Halfin, the church where the Spirit of God moved powerfully, and God is using the people of God in the house. I thank God for the pastors. I thank God for woman of God. I thank God for such a powerful word that was brought forth today. And my prayer is that someone heard, or someone heard by the Spirit of God, because we can hear and really not hear, that they heard by the Spirit of God something to keep them going or to make a change in their life and know that they can decree and declare some things. So you're welcome to come be a part with us at Glory Victory Full Gospel Church in the New Iberia area. God bless you all. I thank God for you, woman of God. God bless you. Every step you take, every notion, every idea that comes to your spirit, I pray for prosperity. I pray for prosperous and abundantly. I pray they be successful in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you all. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And God bless you, and that word is well received. To all of our listeners, for those of you that have yet to receive the Lord as your personal Savior, we want to invite you to the Word of God. Please read Romans 10 and 9. Once you believe that, once you confess that, we want to be the first to welcome you to the body of Christ. So, again, we love you. God bless you. And until next Tuesday at 3 o'clock p.m., Godspeed.